Welcome, everybody. This is, what is today's date? I shouldn't officially announce it.
21.
But May 21st. And you know what? As usual, we're going to make this part of our show because I can walk into the other room and see where Terry is. She was madly scrambling for the phone extension, for the phone charger. Terry? She's here. Can you hear me? Wait, I heard you. Wait, talk. Hello?
I see your line, Terry, but we cannot hear you.
I had to turn it off and on again because, I don't know, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes people can't hear me until I turn it off and terminate the connection and restart it. So.
Listen. Terry is one of those people that when she walks into street lamps, they go off.
All the electricity in British Columbia, all over the whole province, went off when I was.
What did you do?
I was sitting at a restaurant and I just was playing in the electric wires in the restaurant, and all of a sudden I got hit by a huge charge and the lights went off, and they not only went off in the restaurant, they went off all over the whole province, and they traced it to a funny electrical surge in the area where I was.
All right. You're under arrest. We're going to get at you.
Finn, come a little bit. Put your your mic a little bit closer, Wynn.
Wait a second. Is this better?
No.
No?
No.
All right.
And the same thing for you, Eddie. Can you put your microphone a little bit closer?
Tell me if that's better.
It's a little bit better, yes.
Okay.
All right. You know what I think I've got to do, Hive? I got to.
It's doable, Wynn.
Listen, you guys are so patient. Thank you for putting up with us.
Well, half of the people already hung up, man. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm only talking to the people that are here. All right, I'm going to switch headsets. Okay, here we go. Hang on.
All right, welcome all those on BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. We got a little late start here. Different causes.
Okay. Hi.
Yes.
Is this better?
It's a little better, yes. I think it's good.
Okay, this is my normal headset. I had another headset.
And we hadn't even started the recording yet, so here we go, all right?
Thank you, boss.
This conference is being recorded.
This is May 21st, 2014. Our question and answer call, thank you all for being here. Thank you all for being so patient. You know what? Not only do you have to be patient with us, we have to be patient with BBS. We have to be patient with, we're in Sedona, and they have a forest fire in Sedona. And thanks to those of you who checked on us, but it's not actually in, it's kind of on the outskirts of Sedona. It seems to be blowing the other way. So I guess we're lucky. And we have some great questions tonight. Let me see here. Let me just check for some last-minute questions. Susan Rush wants a report card from the Elohim. And Susan, we're not going to do that. Okay. You know what? One of the problems about getting a... One of the things that the Elohim have to be really careful about is a lot saying something, and we all have to be careful of this, because when you say something, you kind of lock it in. Okay, they said it; it must be true. And the thing about spirit is anything has the potential to shift in an instant. And if you dwell on something as being a certain way, then you will hold that in position, or you'll bring it in, even attract it to you. You know, the whole thing about consciousness, what's in your mind, what's in your energy field. See, it's easy to change what's in your mind. It's easy to say, okay, I'm going to think this, I'm going to think that, I believe this. It's one of the questions we have tonight. It's not so easy to change your energy field. In fact, it really takes a big commitment to move through blocks in your energy field. And some of you may have heard, I had an argument with somebody on the call that said, well, just think this and everything will be okay. All you got to do is think this. And later they sent me an apology. They said they were wrong. But nonetheless, I mean, I would believe that if I could make it work. But I've never made that work. You know, it's kind of like I've never been able to shift my energy by thinking like, well, I'm really happy today, or the world's going fine, or money's coming in. Come on, money. Or it doesn't work for me. But I do see things that do work, and it does help to think positive thoughts. It's not that it doesn't help, but there is more to it than that. I'll tell you a big key, really big key. Remember this. This is, for me, I think this is a truth that anyone can apply to shift themselves if they apply it. And that is, you are either creating or you are created. And unfortunately, what's creating you are the forces on this planet, which are scary and dark, and not all of them, but many of them, and many of them that are in your face a lot. And to me, the only way that I can stay above that, because I have the same challenge, is through creating. And I create at a level higher than the forces on the planet. And then I get to walk in my own creation, which is above what's on the planet. And I say most of the time. It doesn't mean they never get me. Sometimes they do. But most of the time, I walk in my own creation. And so how does that look for you? It means it doesn't mean you have to do big, grand things. What is above the forces of the planet? Kindness, care, acts of kindness, volitional acts of service. And if you're stuck, we had someone that asked that question today. If you're stuck, and if you are a wanderer, and if you're sitting around waiting for something to shift, it probably won't. It probably won't until you create something at a higher level than your stuckness. And as you keep doing that, you start building energy units. And as you build those energy units, the whole thing starts to spiral upwards. If you don't do that, it does not spiral upwards. It goes in circles. And it's not hard. It's easy. You can go buy greeting cards and send people nice things just without any reason. Just, I was just thinking of you. I hope you're doing okay. You can send emails to do that. I tell people, go to convalescent homes and talk to the old people. They will be grateful that you're there because they are lonely. But some of you have big things to do. Call a group of people over to your house and have a meditation. Now, everyone can't do that, but some of you can. Have a potluck dinner. I.e., make a list of all the things you can do to create something where there was nothing. And if you do that, it flows back to you. It may not happen immediately. There could be an immediate gratification. I mean, when you do something and somebody gives appreciation or gratitude back, there's an immediate energy backflow towards you. But it may not stick the first time. You can't expect to do one kind act and have your whole life change. But if you make it part of your daily routine, what can I create today? What can I do? How can I change someone's life? How can I make someone smile? What can I do? And even when you're oppressed, even when the wolf is at your door, even if you're not healthy, start a regimen of doing those kinds of things, because that will cause things to shift eventually. You have to wait it out. It doesn't all shift at once. You'll have nice moments immediately, but after a while, you'll get used to thinking of yourself as a valuable person, a worthy person. And when you show up, everyone's going to say, there you are. And then you feel good about yourself because you have built light units and you have created above the level of this planet, because the level of this planet in general, people, you know, I don't want to say this. I don't want to say it's dog eat dog. People are not kind, because people are kind. Many people are kind. And a lot of people, particularly now, when the world is going through such changes, people are more receptive than they used to be to kindness. You know, when people have a lot of money coming in and they're, you know, spending money on all kinds of stuff, you know, it's distraction. And so they're not up to facing themselves as much. But now people are much more appreciative. So on that note, Terry Friedman, are you here by any chance?
Yes.
Hey, Terry,
yeah.
We love you, okay?
Thank you.
Wait a second. You may not be on for the whole call, all right?
Right.
But I'm gonna, you know. For those of you who don't know, Terry was on our call 3 times, and he is a beautiful being. And he wrote a book that, you know, I tell people, it could be fantasy, but it's very inspiring because he has memories of being Matthew, Jesus' disciple, and when you read the book, He puts those memories down, and it's like it brings it to life. It's like you're standing there, and he's not writing from his imagination, although you can think that if you want. He is actually saying how it was to be there. And I put up a web page. If anyone wants to get Terry's book, the web page is manwhowalked.intelligent-infinity.com. And I highly recommend it. And I'm really honored that Terry is joining us. And he's going to be just listening tonight. And every so often, we're going to give him the spotlight. But, you know, he is suffering from, let me not say suffering. He's got a break from having to work hard because he's got some MS to keep him from jogging around the block. So let's just...
All callers are unmuted.
Everybody's unmuted. Could we all just tell Gary Friedman that we love him? Let's hear it.
I love you, Terry.
I love you.
Terry.
We love you.
Sunshine
Mary.
And love to you, Terry.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. Namaste. You are my sunshine.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right, Terry. I just want you to know there's actually people listening. And that you are really appreciated.
Okay.
And you can just listen, Dale. Then you have to hang up. What we do on our Wednesday call is people send me questions and Terry channels the answers. So I pick the best questions and some of the worst ones. And we're just going to start right now. So just keep in mind, I can't mute you. So if you have to make any loud noises, try to cover the microphone. Do you know how to mute your phone, Terry? Okay, well, if we hear a loud noise, sometimes Terry groans a little bit, and if we hear it, it's okay. We'll work around it. I'm telling Terry Brown to be prepared to hear. You might hear a loud noise from Terry occasionally. So, and I can't mute him because he's on my line. I can mute myself. I'll tell you what, I'll try to mute myself after I ask a question. So then when you're channeling, I'll be muted and so will Terry, okay? All right. Good. Let me see here. You know, we don't usually, like, there's a whole class of calls that are fear-producing and that I don't like to ask. Usually I don't. Because many of you know that there is what could be called a war in heaven going on, or a war in the other dimensions. And our planet is in the middle of a lot of siege. And a lot of people are saying everything is fine, and other people saying everything is not fine. And I'm staying on the middle of the creative edge that says our work is something that can change things. And that, you know, we have a few hundred people on the line, perhaps, and I'm aiming for multi-millions, and I think we've already done the impossible, just being where we are now. So I'm just going to continue projecting the impossible, and, you know, it's project more books coming out, project however it reaches, you know, being on George Norrie again, but those synchronicities that come in that you can't predict how it works, but can change everything. Because I know there's millions and millions of people that are reaching for the highest purpose on this planet. Reaching for open hearts. I know that we are a support system and we're here, and we're solid. And we could have a million people on this line, just as much as a few hundred. We could have 10 million people. So I like to hold that vision that we can bring that around. And on that note, we're going to start. Joe, you're not ready, right?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
At least you're not muted. At least you're not muted, right? So,
right.
That's good.
That's a step forward.
All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. May any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, moving through the galaxies, moving through the Milky Way, moving through the solar system, moving through the outer energies of planet Earth, moving through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy amongst all of us who are present that would like to participate. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected energy that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do our sources have a greeting for us?
This is Ra'an. This is the 21st of May, 2014. And we are honored to be with you. We are delighted to have this communication pathway open. And we greet each and every one of you personally. We bring ourselves close for those that would wish us to be close to you. We are mindful of the things that you have asked. If you are experiencing depression, it is made of a mindset that has certain frequencies. And these frequencies are playing through your resonances. It's like a violin string. And you magnify it when you feel sorry for yourself. Or you feel sorry for another. You magnify and amplify that feeling. If you wish to move out of that depression, you need to change key. You need to vibrate at a different frequency. You need to bring through the frequency of love, the frequency of being grateful for the things that you do have. You need to bring through honor, to honor and respect those things that are going right. You need to set yourself up to a higher frequency. And when that frequency moves through you, then you will begin to get the glimmer of what it is like to not be depressed. If you place yourself in a different environment and let a little bit of that environment in where people are joyous, then you can begin to hoist yourself up by the bootstraps and begin to feel that energy, that new song flow through your space. It is like moving into a different frequency zone. Thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, this time period, if you're a wanderer, you know, if you've read my book, you know a wanderer is someone that comes from a higher dimension, that comes into this dimension to be of service. It's almost imperative that you find your way of being of service, because the old handholds at the lower realms are falling away. They're not there. And, you know, I believe the next question is from Mark in Altadena. And I believe that's part of the answer to his question. I am having a hard time doing the things that are required to continue recovery from addiction. Specifically, I cannot bring myself to complete my resume or seriously search for a job. I have no money and life is difficult for myself and my family. I don't want this to continue, but I still can't bring myself to take the necessary steps. I have an MBA and was a successful small business owner before this happened. If I search honestly, I am afraid and I see little value in returning to where I was. I was successful, but pointlessly running in circles to buy things that didn't matter. I know it doesn't have to be this way again, but I am still stuck here asking this question. Do our sources have any insight that can help me?
There is something you are reaching for that you would like to happen, and you, if you move back into the old sphere, then perhaps the old patterns would continue. And you are searching for a new way, a way that doesn't have that old boredom, that old lack of progress forward. You, with the addiction, need nutrients for the body that will sustain you, that will help bring you higher. One of the things you could do would be to, rather than change everything all at one time, to move into a job that you would be familiar with, and then to get the nutrients that your body needs with the money that you are bringing in. Get the nutrients to replenish the acetylcholine in your brain, to bring the hormones into balance, which then would give you added energy to move forward and then to change. The other thing you could do would be to sit down and search on the internet for what it is that would make you feel like you are progressing. A different career than before. You could do both of those things. You could get a job where you were before, in the area that you were before, and then educate yourself in another area where you feel that you could move in to your path, your excitement, your passion. If you make any step forward, it will be a beginning, because motion can bring you into further motion it is easier to move into something you desire if you are already in motion on your own motion by you on your own that you could measure of success. And then it is easier to change the path from that grounded motion.
Thank you. And Mark, stay tuned. I'm experimenting with something. I know a lot of people who are on our call are having trouble making ends meet. And I'm experimenting with a really fun thing that might earn money. I got to go out and do it myself, see if it works. And if it does, I'll let you all know. It's easy, it's fun, and could actually make quite a bit of money. And it's not a multi-level. Okay? All right. Thank you. Question. Now, Dharmananda, I am not going to ask the question. We know there's negative forces. And some people relate to the negative forces as aliens, as reptilians, and there's another word going around called archons. I don't know if that's in Terry's vocabulary, and if it isn't, I'll have to look it up if they have a problem with that.
Thank you. That question has been asked before on archons. Is there a definition you could give for archons?
Well, let me just look it up right now. As far as I know, the Elohim are not browsing David Icke's website. So, new words come up. And here, I'm just doing a search now. Here it comes here. Okay, this is from Bibliotech. Here's another one. The Rise of Archons. Many people have heard the term archon, but would be hard-pressed to define it. What is an archon? And this is from a guy named Jay Widener, who answered this on an interview. To begin with, I would draw attention to two articles on your site, The Global Coup of Etat, and the one about ownership of the world. The Queen of England owns 1/6 of the non-ocean surface of the world. And keep in mind, as we go into the archon subject, the archons were whispered about in text after the burning of the Library of Alexandria, with mention of mysterious beings called archons. But the powers that they spent 1,300 years cleaning up the records and written out the archons from our history. In 1947, texts were found in clay jars in Egypt, and on these texts was a story of what Nag Hammadi people, 2,000 years ago, thought the world was about. The reason the Nag Hammadi texts are so important is that no one has been able to put a spin on it. No one has been able to distort or destroy them, which is what they'd really like to do. Luckily, they were survived and translated, and they found a clear and defined discussion of what these archons are. They had been buried deep in a cave in Egypt in order to protect the most important information they had. Oh, God, he still hasn't told us what it is. According to the text, they can get into people and can manipulate people to do things very suddenly that are very odd. But also, they were responsible for the deterioration of culture. So unlike the culture of the ancient Greeks or Chinese, but a cheap facade of a culture, as the archonic presence has spread across the earth, it has escalated in the 20th century. You can see they are responsible for sprawl and mass ugliness that is everywhere. Television is an example of archonic imitation. Humans are imitated on television, but the imitation is altered and is nearly always obscene and profane because the archons not only do not understand the sacred, but they hate it. They are jealous of the natural world and of human beings with the natural world. Loving couples make them angry. They love violence. They are sexually titillated by anger and war and death. They create war to consume energy from the dying. Supposedly, they live or lurk outside the inner planets near Saturn in our solar system. The Gnostics thought that Jehovah was an alien, off-planet demon, and he was a fake god, a masquerading archon again, duplicating reality. So the archons were released from a prison, and this is probably what the Book of Enoch is about, when he said he took the demons and locked them in a box, but they would come back at the end of time. Okay, so that is... archives, is that, maybe that's enough to give you an idea.
Thank you. We look at negativity and service to self, and we look at different creatures that are negative in service to self. Demonic individuals that are not human, that could distort the field around them, so that they then would have a negative influence that could, in their negativity, be disturbed by the frequencies of harmony and of love. We laugh in ourselves at the image of the Archon being contracted in its gathering of energy to create negativity, desiring to influence individuals in a negative way, but we do not wish to dwell on negativity. We laugh to a certain degree at the smallness, at the isolation, at the negativity itself, that it leaves so many frequencies out and seeks to destroy healthy frequencies. We laugh because the destruction that an archon creates is mainly destruction to their own full experience. And they laugh back. However, they can only remain within their own field and be distorted. And a harmonious person can reach out and dance and sing and experience greatness. We hope that helps.
Thank you. How would a person, let's just suppose there are these negative energies that are impacting this realm, how does a person escape the influence of them?
Ignoring them in all manner of ignoring, not duplicating their energy, not being drawn into their energy, not investigating their energy, not connecting with their energy, simply moving into one's own sphere and bringing ethics into one's own sphere, being unethical can draw in an archon energy. Being ethical, being upstanding, building one's own soul matrix with things in their life that they can rely on, trustworthiness, good connection with others, imparting kindness to others, creates a platform that one can then move on as a base and can cause one to feel grounded and supported. An archon energy does not provide support but is undermining. And to leave it be, let the archon be and move out of its frequency reach. Build your own frequency, your own ethical, healthy life. And there is no reason that to connect, for the icon to connect with you, as they are turned off by such joy. And if you stay out of the vibration of the negativity and do not go seeking after it, or have unethical cycles in your background that cause it to come in, you can stay out of its reach.
You know, there was a thing in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce where they were counseling David, and I don't know if he followed this counsel, but don't pay attention to all the negative news and all the negative things that are happening, because if you do, it creates fear, which attracts negative stuff towards you. Now, I think it's good to pay enough attention to it so you know that it's there, and so that you know not to walk out and step into it, like knowing where the dog do is. But after that, you know, to as I said at the beginning of the call, either create or be created upon. And if you're not creating, if you're not creating positive flow and walking in your own flow and finding other people that are doing that, you have to get pulled into the negative. It's just the way it works, because that's what's here. 6:56, DBS was late. We were late, and I don't have time for all the questions. Let me do one question.
After us, Erwin.
What's that?
An open time slot after us on BBS.
Oh, we can go a little longer then, right? Okay, good. Okay, good work on finding that out. Okay. Ruzia Karpinek, who is in Toronto, 2 hours north in a country cottage, and she's been sending me loads and loads of questions. She's a lady that has a lot of phenomenal experience, some of it positive and some of it not so. And sometimes she's not sure which is which. And she asked a question. I was married and my first daughter, Stefania, was a year old, was sleeping in a tiny crib beside a small bed that my husband and I shared in a very small room that was about the size of a walk-in closet at my sister's cottage. It was quiet and pitch black at night, as one could not see one's hand. And for some reason, I awoke around 3 in the morning. I opened my eyes, and there was what appeared to be a white angelic being dressed like Virgin Mary, all in white, filling the small room with illuminated light. I was not very religious at the time, and my marriage was crumbling. I was paralyzed with fear, and I hid under the covers. When I peeked out, the vision was still there. I wanted to run to my daughter, but that would have meant walking right through the vision to get to her. I finally fell asleep. Could you please ask for me if that was the Virgin Mary, or was it an alien entity impersonating her? As I mentioned, I was terrified. Thank you.
Thank you. You did the right thing. We see that it had elements of negativity with it, as the terrified response was not what you would have expected from the Virgin Mary. We feel that it was an imposter, you did the right thing to ignore it and go back to sleep. And we see also that there are positive angels that come and bring solace and comfort. But gauge by your response to what you are seeing.
Thank you. When you die, we've gone through a life, of course. Everyone has gone through a life, and that's Terry. He's probably sleeping and relaxing, so that's good. and when you go through a life, there's two things. There's things you believe in your mind, and there's things which are the energetic balance in your body. And when you leave this realm, what's the relative importance of one over the other?
Would you repeat the question?
Is Terry taking you out of Terry out of trance? I'll repeat the question.
This is Terry. I did go out of trance for a minute there and checked on Terry. So please reread the question.
The question is, there's two aspects to a human. One is the energetic balance in their body, their chakra openness, et cetera, et cetera. And the other is their belief patterns. And maybe a third thing is somebody that could be very open in their chakras could still have the service to self or negative. How do the relative balance of these aspects create what happens after you leave this body and you die?
Thank you. When the chakras are open, it makes it easier to leave the body and to translate to the heavenly realm or higher. If one has one chakra closed, so see the heart chakra is closed and the power chakra is closed, then it tends to catapult them into areas where their chakras are open, and they may move back directly into a reincarnation of another body, being attracted by the sexual chakras. It depends upon the belief systems also. If the person believes one way or another, say they believe that they are the body and that they are not going to translate anywhere, then they will act upon that belief when they die, and they may just sit around the body thinking, I'm dead, I'm not born anywhere, and that belief system would be predominant. So all of the chakras being open and would be ideal, and along with a belief system that they believe that there is life after death and that they could translate to a higher realm, or that they would continue operation or being alive after their body had passed on.
Do your beliefs carry with you when you die?
Your beliefs does carry with you when you die. So if you believe that you were the body and you were simply dead after you died, then you would attempt to make that true. If you believe that you would be going to heaven when you died, then you would orient in that direction and be open to the angels who would show you the way.
If you're on our calls, for example, and you believe these group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group, are on the other side, and they would welcome you, does that belief help that to occur?
Yes, although that is not necessary. Belief in angels, belief that the angelic realm can help direct you to the higher realms. If there is help from a positive angelic being, this will help you as much as belief in the Elohim and the Ra group.
I see. Okay, super. I think that'll be our last question for tonight. I thought we would take a few minutes and just do a little planetary meditation. We just bring our energies together. We ask for our sources to join with our energies. We see this huge, huge energy that we are holding the space for on the planet, in our bodies, and we ask this energy to surround the Earth, to surround all of those people who are reaching for higher consciousness, higher awareness, reaching for God, we ask that they can feel the response, no matter how they understand it. We ask for the blessings of courage, discernment, to be on the people of this planet. We ask for the protection from those service to self energies that would delude us, scare us, create fear. We ask for minimization of earthquakes, that they be small and away from population centers. We ask for help in controlling fires that have been going on in San Diego, if they're still going on, I think they are, and in Sedona right now. And we'll just take, we ask for all of you who need healings that these energies work with you, help heal those aspects of yourself in other dimensions which are causing your bodies to break down or hurt. We ask right now that you let these energies in, we just hold a moment of silence. We ask for special help and blessings for Terry Friedman, who's on the line right now. We ask all this in the highest good of all concerned, in honoring free will. And on that note, we are going to end this session. And I thank every one of you who is holding the space for this to occur, all those volunteers for Terry, Terry Brown, Carla Rucker. And we hope we'll see you on Sunday. And on that note, I'm going to unmute you all. And hang on a moment. Here we go.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Wow, good night. Thank you, Terry. And thank you, Terry. And thank you, Wynn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve Roller.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Uncle Terry.
Thank you,
Uncle Terry.
Have a good night.
I think Terry Friedman is sleeping. Are you sleeping, Terry?
No, I'm not.
Did you fall?
<to you. laughs> We'd love to have you on the line, Terry.
Yeah, thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks for being here.
Wonderful to have you here, Terry.
Good night, everyone.
All right.
I can't wait to meet Dr. Friedman.
Yeah. I love you more, Dr. Friedman.
Okay.
Get Terry's book, okay?
Bad words.
Bad words, readers.
Have a good weekend.
The link was on the email.
I sent out today.
I don't get the email. I'm not on your email list for some reason.
Well, you know, if you didn't get an email, call us and just put the order in over the phone. 805-267-9263. And usually Jim or Terry will answer the phone, Terry Brown, and take your order. But don't ask Terry for any Elohim questions. I'm lucky to get a word in edgewise. So we'll see you all next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sunshine. Goodbye.